It's Thursday, October 10th, and you're listening to the Geek at Geek News Central, the longest continuous running tech podcast. This is show 897, sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com. Our October GoDaddy special, customers get an economy hosting account for $1.99 a month and a free.com at GoDaddy.com by using the promo code HOSTOFF3 or get a .org for $9.99. All the details are geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Hey, folks, happy 9th anniversary to Geek News Central. Got a lot for you tonight. Let's launch this, baby. It's go time.
All right, people, I need a go-no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
No.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Todism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
5.
Button, who's got the button?
4.
There is no cause for alarm.
3.
Everybody hold on to something.
2.
Just press the button.
1.
It's showtime.
Aloha and welcome to Geek News Central, coming to you as live as it can be from the beautiful state of Hawaii via the Geek News Central studio overlooking Greater Honolulu. Hey, everyone, welcome to the show. Of course, my name is Todd Cochran, and happy 9th anniversary. I think something's loose back here because I feel this thing like drooping. For those of you who are watching, the mic stand was acting a little weird there. But hey, everyone, welcome to the show. Of course, my name is Todd Cochran, and hey, thanks for being here, and thanks for staying subscribed to the show. Thanks for being part of the Ohana. I'm telling you, can you believe it? Nine years is where we're at with this thing. The original broadcast, or the original podcast for this show, was on October 9th, 2004. So pretty incredible here. We're at 9 years, and very close to being at the 900th show. So, you know, we'll go back a little bit in history on this a little bit later in the show, but wow, what a ride it's been so far. But, hey, if you're checking the show out for the very first time, I want to welcome you to the show. And of course, I want to encourage you to get over to the website, get over to geeknewscentral.com. And really, it's a piece of cake. Just go over there and get subscribed to the show. And you find links there via iTunes or an RSS feed, or you can grab the newsletter as well. So that way you can get the show notes delivered directly to your inbox immediately following the show. So definitely consider getting subscribed. Of course, watch all of our great content over on the website as well. We got a great team of writers. They're putting up content on a daily basis as well, tech content. So there's something on the site every day for you. Gadget Professor, Mr. Don Bain, the Gadget Professor, put out his episode tonight. So there's new episode of Gadget Professor out. Langley at Robot Underpants pumped his latest show out yesterday. And we're just a few short weeks away from being starting at the new media. The special media events feed will come alive. We actually have new content put in it. This coming Saturday, we're going to have Caleb Bacon from Los Angeles. He was part one of the primary guys that organized the LA Podfest this past weekend. We'll be talking with him and talking about his network as well. But I tell you, I'm really, you know, tonight, the last couple of days, I haven't been feeling super well. Something's going on. I'm going to get into the doctor and see what's happening. But as I was getting ready for the show tonight, my wife says, you're spending too much time behind the desk and not enough time at the beach. So that might be the exact concern. But 9 years has been a pretty crazy ride here. Hey, you can watch us on the Roku, on the Boxy, Samsung Smart TV, Google TV, the soon-to-going-away Google TV, which will turn into the Android TV. We'll talk about that later in the show. And, of course, you can contact me here on Twitter at Geek News. You can email me here at the show at geeknews@gmail.com or you can call the hotline at 619-342-7365. This hotline is going dead. It's got about 20 days, and we're going to cancel it. Just not a lot of usage out of it over the past several months. But anyway, that is how you reach out to the show and get in touch with me. I had an email come in tonight just before the show. Someone was having some challenges. And I may have to wake Angelo up, but I don't understand how this guy's got the link that he has. I'm just kind of concerned. He's using a media link that I am definitely not familiar with from our from a service point from our company. And I don't know if Angelo's giving him a special link or what's going on. I was going to actually bring up a page here while we're just getting started and see if I can figure out what was going on with him. So that's what that should be. I don't know why he's having an issue. But anyway, let's go ahead and continue down the list here of stuff that I got for the beginning of the show. Of course, don't forget, we're part of the Tech Podcast Network over at techpodcast.com, and we're streaming live tonight up on YouTube. So those of you that are on YouTube tonight, I want to thank you for watching. And of course, our longtime sponsor show here, GoDaddy.com, they got some great deals for you this month. And I tell you, that's one thing they have been really awesome about is putting stuff together for us that really allows me to pass on some great deals to you. And they put really three fantastic deals together this month. For $1.99, you get economy hosting each month for 12 months. So $24 gets you 12 months of economy hosting. And then you get a free domain thrown in. So it's basically subtract $8 from that is what a normal .com cost. And it gets you $16 for that economy hosting. HostOff3 is the code. Or you get 30% off your new order at GoDaddy by using the promo code 30DEAL3. That's 30% off your order on new orders. You can get a .org in recognition of breast cancer. I guess it's, you know, all the ladies are wearing the pink this month. So breast cancer awareness. And you can use the promo code ORG4 to get a .org for $9.99. Our .coms are still $1.99 by using the promo code 199GEEKS. So really, lots of codes there for you to use over at GoDaddy. And, of course, a lot of change over at GoDaddy. A lot of change. Less jiggle and more focus on business and helping folks out building their website with web tools, hosting, and so forth. So definitely check everything I've got out for you. And one way to find all the codes, it's real easy. You come over to geeknewscentral.com. You scroll down the page. You're going to see the GoDaddy promo code link in the second column of the website. Click on that. That's going to bring you in and give you access to all of my codes, everything that I've got available there. And there's everyday non-expiring offers. There's a stack of them. And whether it be cash back, whether it be a .com renewal, whether it be a 10% off on an order, whether it be 20% off on a one-year shared hosting account, that's basically nothing, you know, something that's maybe a little, if you get a little better account than a economy hosting account. And then, of course, 15% on your order, $20 or more. I was using that bad boy, renewing a bunch of stuff here a couple of days ago. I use all my own codes, and I mix them up for every occasion to save the most amount of money. And sometimes I'll like, if I need to renew a bunch of .coms, I just select .coms in my renewal. I go and renew those. Then I come back and pick the next segment of, and then I use a different code so you can mix and match. GoDaddy will always offer you the best deal that they have available. But if you use the code, it gets us credit no matter what. So that definitely kicks in. So be aware of that. Okay. So let me go ahead here and kind of get into my stack. Again, this coming Saturday, new media show with Caleb Bacon, one of the organizers of LA Podfest. And of course, we're going to talk about him and his networks as well. So that gets started at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 noon Eastern, right here at Geek News Central. And we're still looking for an insider coordinator. We're looking for someone to volunteer and be our, basically take care of our insiders. And you don't have to be an insider to be an insider coordinator, because once you become the insider coordinator, you are an insider. definitely consider that. And I want to thank, I got a check in the mail. Let's see, where did I put it? Right here. I want to thank the Smiths out of Tucson. But thank you very much for mailing a check and supporting the show. This is the second check, actually the third check, but the second check I can deposit. I want to thank them very much for their contribution. It's greatly appreciated. Really, really is. So let's talk just a little bit about the ninth year of the show. And, you know, little did I know, I got the fever bad. You know, as you guys know the story, had gotten hurt in June of 2004, June 2nd to be exact. I got hurt in Bahrain, which is in the Middle East, and spent 13 days in the hospital. Came home with about a quarter inch shorter, a crushed L1 vertebrae. Had been real lucky. I mean, really, really, really lucky not to have spinal cord damage. Swimming pool accident, essentially. Slide at a swimming pool. One of those big, whirly, you know, spin slides. Really, and, you know, if my buddies hadn't been there, I probably would have drowned. But long story short, came home basically all drugged up and not in very good shape. And they put me in I was in one of those body cavity things for clamshell, I call it, for, I guess, 3 months. And if you remember, I was still active duty in the military. And the military, when you get hurt, there's a very heavy scrutiny done upon you. You're looked at very, very closely because they want to make sure that you're going to continue to be very, very productive to them, and that you're not going to end up being, for a better word, not earning your keep. And so what ended up really happening there was I was looking for any type of job that would basically keep me out of the scrutinizing eye of Med Review Board and a variety of other things. And ultimately, they were able to send me to Waco, Texas, where I was babysitting some airplanes. And, you know, it was 110 degrees every day in Texas at that time of the year. And the only place I found relief was in my hotel room in the evenings with the AC cranked all the way up, because I'm wearing this body cavity thing. You guys know the story on that. But, I'm surfing the internet every night. You know, that's really all I could do. And not for a long period of time. I could get completely comfortable. Sometimes, you know, just it went in rashes. I was either more comfortable standing up or sitting down or laying down. I could never seem to ever get comfortable. But when I caught the bug for podcasting, I jumped into it with really both feet in a heavy, heavy way. And from there on, things are history. You know, I was fortunate to probably be one of the first 100 or so shows that started creating media in this way that would deliver the content via an enclosure so people could subscribe. And, you know, it was all very foreign at the time. If you remember there was no iPhone at that point. The iPod was very, very it was very new. You know, I think there was Gen 1 or Gen 2 was out, and we had a very bad mobile bandwidth. So when you really didn't have the ability to do what we do today, and you think about where we've come in 9 years just in the mobile side, you know, so there was no choice. People had to sync. You know, they would sync their devices to their main computer, and they would take their media and with the content with them. And that's why podcasting got so huge, is because people are given an alternative, you know, and we are part of that alternative. And, you know, the Geekness Central was in existence prior to the actual podcast. So I already had a small readership of folks, and then we added the audio part. It just, it really transformed the whole site and everything that we did. And then the book deal with Wiley, and then the, you know, GoDaddy coming on as a sponsor in 2005. And, you know, everything's been, you know, crazy ever since. And I just think about it, it's 9 years already. And, you know, we'll go over some of the stats on show 900, but, you know, I've been here with you guys every Monday and Thursday, for 9 years. And it's part of my routine, you know, to 6 o'clock, I roll in here into the studio, and actually sometimes 5:30, and I start doing show prep, and we're ready to pull the trigger by about 8 p.m. And that's, we go for an hour 15, and it's a drill, and I still enjoy doing the show. There's a few days that I like to take off, but You know, you guys have long time supported the show, supported the sponsors, you know, continue to send comments in, continue to give feedback. So from that aspect, I really want to thank all of you for making this ride so enjoyable. And even the folks that have come in years, you know, we haven't heard from Sal in a long time out of Jersey. You know, I don't know if Sal's still listening, but, you know, Sal was entertaining to all of us. And a variety of other characters that we have grown to, some to love, some to hate over the years on, you know, feedback from the show. So that's what it really has been all about, is a relationship between me and you and having a conversation as if we were, you know, sitting across from one another at the coffee table or hanging out someplace and having a beer or just kicking back, and we can talk a little tech and have a little fun, talk about the family, which I do here on the show on a regular basis. And a lot of people, you know, a lot of people criticize the show and have criticized the show for years for those that are used to wanting to get into a podcast. It's just all about the content, you know, and really what this show has always been about is about family. And that's why we want to always say Ohana. You know, here in Hawaii, Ohana is big. You know, it's the most, you know, and just like in your regular lives, your families are your most important, you know, part of your life. And you guys are part of my Ohana. So you're a very important part of my life. So I want to thank all of you for continuing to be here. And I know some of you have been here from single digits, double digits. Many of you have come in at triple digits. And as we do this march to 900 together, you know, some of you are going to make it to four digits. And when we hit 1,000, just about a year, a little over a year from now. But as you guys all know, that there has been times where I have taken a week here, a week there. Even the radio personalities, you know, when it's not the week where they're going to be being rated for ratings, you know, those guys take time off. So when I take time off for CES or NAB, or, you know, every once in a while, I'll take a day or two off here. You guys just got to know it's for my sanity as well as yours, because you don't, you know, I know you guys love me, but you don't need to hear me every Monday and Tuesday. Now, I want you to make sure you check for the show every Monday and Tuesday, and we email you to remind you the show's out and put it up on Facebook and Google Plus and YouTube and everywhere else. So, you know, keep staying subscribed, keep supporting the show, and keep emailing me and keep me on my toes, and we'll make it to 1,000 together. And I don't even want to think about the march from 1,000 to 2,000, because you guys will already have been here for 10 years. You know, 9 years is a lot. You know, it's a lot. It really is. 897 shows is a lot of, it's a lot of time listening to me. And you guys, by this time, probably know me better than I know myself. You know, I forgot stuff that you guys can remember, you know, the old gray matter here. And as my wife says, you know, you're not, you know, you're not getting any younger there, Todd. So I think we all have aged together a little bit here. And those of you that have hung throughout the entire period, thanks. Thanks for being here. And let's move on. This is getting melodramatic here for sure. Let me see. Let me look at the stack. Still looking, again, for that insider coordinator and also our crowdfunding thing. We are fast approaching the launch of our crowdfunding effort. I hope by the next show to have the, you know, ready to make the announcement. But all of you that appreciate this show, I need you to start saving a few extra pennies and nickels and dimes and quarters and ones and fives and tens. And you just save a little bit for us, because I'm going to be asking you guys to really, for the first time ever, help us make a large goal. And it's not going to be just this show that's going to be asking you to step forward and help us out. We're trying something new. We're trying something exciting. It's going to be a lot of fun. I've worked hard with Jeffrey to make sure that our crowdfunding levels are going to be fun and make a lot of sense. We're working with Brian, my creative guy, to make sure that some of the t-shirts we're going to be giving away in conjunction with someone else is going to be really something you'll be like, wow, I got to have one of those. And a variety of other things that we've got. And if you have a business and you want to help us with crowdfunding, let us know, because we're adding stuff onto the crowdfunding as part of the giveaways. As companies step forward and say, yeah, I'll give you 9 of these, or I'll give you 10 of those, or I'll give you 14 of those. So we've got it all set up in different levels, and I think you guys are going to find it pretty cool on what you're going to be able to help us with for CES 2014. And we'll get into that a lot more on the next show. I'll go into the details. You guys are going to be sick of hearing about this thing by the time we're done, but maybe not. Maybe it'll help us reach our goal very, very quickly. Okay, so again, thanks GoDaddy for being here. They've been here for 8 years, folks. 8 years. And that in itself really is huge. They keep the lights on. They keep the lights on here, keep my family fed. That's important. Just remember that as you're picking up a domain name or a hosting account. Okay, so let's get into the content and the stack here and find out what we've got in the tech. I've got some really important stuff to talk about with you tonight. And some stuff that popped up here that is going to require me to, I guess for a better word, get on top of my soapbox for a little bit and just kind of not necessarily rant. One thing before we get into that. Oh, man, that was kind of stupid. Let me bring up a page. I want to show you something here. And I thought it was kind of cute because being this is the 9th anniversary of the show, let's talk about 15 things that the internet has killed off. And some of this stuff has happened during the time that you and I have been together. So MakeUseOf.com's got this list. Number one, public phones. There was definitely a lot of public phones when we started this show. They were starting to disappear, but they hadn't been completely decimated. CDs and cassettes, well, those were gone before, well, the CDs weren't. The cassettes were gone before you and I started to get together. The Rolodex is definitely, and what this is a list of 15 things that the internet and technology killed off. I remember having a Rolodex 20 years ago, but not 10 years ago. Encyclopedias, I think even encyclopedias 10 years ago was on its way out with the internet. Classified ads in newspaper, definitely that's all changed a lot in the past 9 years. Disposable cameras. I don't remember the last time I saw a disposable camera. Even 9 years ago when we were started doing the show, digital was making major, major impacts. Yard sales. Do people do yard sales anymore? I think everything's sold on Craigslist. I know my wife would keep wants to have a yard sale, but I keep trying to put stuff on Craigslist. And what doesn't, we can't sell on Craigslist, take it to, donate it to Salvation Army or whatever. But one thing that folks don't really do anymore is lining up to pay bills. You know, there's I think that went the way of the dinosaur a long time. Planning road trips on paper maps. I know I don't do that. Physical copies of the Yellow Pages. We were definitely getting Yellow Pages when we started here, but the Yellow Pages are now kaput. Answer machines. How many of you still have an answering machine? How many of you still have a landline? I know many of you do not. Faxes, I think faxes are still used. I still get companies asking me to fax them stuff. I usually scan it and email it to them instead. Teletext, I think that was gone a long, long, long time ago. Maybe 20 years ago. Buying or reading newspapers, newspapers make good things for like drying out shoes and that kind of stuff, but definitely not reading. And obviously PDAs, long time ago and gone. But I wonder what are the 10 things that this show what have we seen go by the wayside since we started this show? Can you guys come up with some stuff that just since this show started that you guys can think of? Email me. Let me know if you've got some suggestions here. geeknews@gmail.com. All right. Facebook. Boy, oh boy. Facebook is now basically making things very open. They made another change that will affect how private your Facebook page is. A new change will allow anyone who uses Facebook to find your page simply by typing your name into the Facebook search results. So now is a good time to manually change the privacy settings on your post. So what's really going on here is that Facebook were removing an old setting that had the clunky name of who can look you up. Who can look up your timeline by name. This decision to remove it was announced a year ago, but the removal did not happen until, I guess, today. Basically, Facebook folks had a few suggestions about how to control what people see on your Facebook page, You're able to change the privacy setting of each individual post, change the settings to friends instead of friends of friends or public. This can be done for old posts and new ones. You can use the activity log to review what you've already shared. This allows you to easily find things. The other suggestion, somewhat out of your control, you can ask your Facebook friends to delete and remove things that are on your page that you are involved in. But here's the deal. They've opened this thing up more. But Facebook's going to be putting up a notice that remind users that sharing with public means that anyone can see the post you're about to make. This is crazy. Now, there's one exception. This will, your timeline will not be visible to people whom you have blocked on Facebook. So now, you know, you thought you're sharing with friends and people that you had, you know, but no more. Well, it's all going to be publicly searchable. This thing is opening up. So just be aware of these Facebook page search can show up in search results now, okay? Talking a little bit more about privacy, there's a talk that was a session at EM Tech where Kate Crawford talked about privacy and big data and the need for regulation. I think we've seen a lot of instances here recently why there should be some more laws put in place to protect our privacy. But what she feels is going to start happening is that companies are going to be able to get so much data on us that they're going to be able to start building some new profiles. And those profiles, well, specifically redlining is, you know, redlining is basically a practice where if you and I have the same credit score and we have the same background, and I walk into my bank here in Honolulu at Wells Fargo and apply for a loan, they give me a loan for 3.75% interest, and you walk into a Wells Fargo in LA and apply for the same exact loan product, and because you're in a different area, they charge you 6.75%, that's illegal. They're not supposed to do that. It's supposed to be, if you have an equal profile, you're supposed to be offered the same exact deal. But what's going to happen here is companies are increasingly using personal identity information collected online to shape the experience of their customers. Now, this is not just for harmless personalization. Big data is being used more and more for precise forms of discrimination. And this precise form of discrimination is exactly what redlining is, that is basically supposed to be outlawed. But because they're able to target more closely, it's not going to be able to be, I guess for a better word, legislated as well. They're not going to be able to track it. It's not going to be as open. So the assessments are going to be made about you, about what you're doing online. So today I went over to Amazon and I ordered a couple of parts that we're going to need for CES. I'm Jamie Davis over at Podman Inc. recommended I get two things for our new camera mounts. So I ordered one set to get them here to test it. If it works out well, then I'll order two more sets for all three cameras. So, you know, that was just a harmless purchase. But let's say I went to Amazon and I had purchased instead a book on cancer or a book on diabetes or something that was health related. And if that got into my profile, then my insurance rates could be affected right now. Well, maybe not with Obamacare now because they can't discriminate against pre-existing condition. But it could, depending on what laws are going on. And it depends on where you live in the world. So, you know, I've all told you guys the story before about how businesses determined, or how Parent Magazine determined that my wife and I, we were pregnant with my last son. You know, someone sold them that information. But soon, it may be just, you know, the purchase that we make. You know, if you buy neonatal vitamins and all that other stuff, there's going to be this much highly targeted, and it could be used to discriminate against us. Okay, so let's say that you're getting ready to buy a car. Okay, so you have you know, generally when you're getting ready to buy a car and you're getting ready to have a credit report run, you're not going to try to do something in the preceding months that will, you know, get your car flagged. But let's say that you talk about online, you say, hey, man, as soon as I buy my car, my wife and I are going on a 1 month vacation to Europe, and we're going to see 10 different countries, and it's going to be a stretch for us, but this is something we want to do for a lifetime. So if a loan, if a company that lends money, they said, okay, you know, this guy's going to be buying a car, but there's also been tippers that he's going to take a big vacation afterwards. He's a risk. Let's turn the loan down. So they can start tying this information together. So the speaker of this conference doesn't suggest that we do away with to be anonymous, doesn't suggest that we do away with being anonymous. Rather, she argues that the tactic is being overworked and that we need some more protection. She describes the need for a procedural data due process. Namely, this would involve requiring that companies disclose information being used for or against someone and the reasoning for it. Disclosure and information processing would have to be regulated by an unbiased party. So I think we have to all understand that these companies are going to be either offering us or denying us different products and services based upon largely what we're doing online with this data mining that they're doing. And I don't know about you guys, but this kind of scares me just a little bit on, you know, the depth that they're going to be able to go. And you know, all of a sudden, you know, in some database somewhere, it's flagged that Todd is, you know, going out too far financially, or he's researching stuff online about cancer. You know, that could end up in what if it's going to be an employer that's going to use that data? So, you know, if the employer, you apply for a job and the employer says, OK, I want all the information on this guy, you know, and they go out there and find that that, you know, the individual's got type 1 diabetes or that has some sort of non-treatable disease. Or you just name it. Just look at the stuff that they could collect and provide to a employer. And an employer could say, oh, my God, if we hire this guy, you know, covering him underneath the company health policy is going to be, it's going to be very expensive. No, let's pass on him or her as a candidate. So, you know, I think this could, in this discrimination, could start crossing data boundaries. It won't be based on the color of your skin. It'll be based upon your habits. And they will know what your habits are and what you're doing. So to me, that is very, very, and it's already bad enough with what's going on in society today, the issues we're facing. But to deal with them data mining us, just takes it to a whole new level. You know, what happens if you go on a transplant list and you make a comment that, hey, you went out and ate such and such, and, you know, the database flags you as, yeah, my God, that person had seafood 5 times this month. That puts them in a higher risk category, or whatever it may be. You know, it could end up affecting people's lives in a big, big way. So we just have to watch it to make sure that this data is not being used against us that way. Now, let's talk about physically collecting information. And really, this is being done every day in Virginia. Virginia State Police have been collecting massive, and I'm saying massive, amount of licenses by scanning license plates at a variety of different events, including political rallies. Now, this is nuts. We know that there are many legitimate uses for license plates data. Tracking auto theft or vehicles used in the commission of a crime, collection of plate and location database by automatic license plate readers can be troublesome in terms of privacy. This definitely can be mitigated, though, with the prompt disposal of data unrelated to criminal activity. Unfortunately, many states are operating license plates readers without privacy safeguards in place or simply building massive databases with no disposal plans for non-hit plate data. So in Virginia, the state police are doing everything wrong. And this just goes on. It's grabbing, again, massive amounts of license plate data. From 2010 until last spring, the Virginia State Police maintained a massive database of license plates that allowed them to pinpoint the location of millions of cars on a particular dates and times. Even more disturbing, the agency used automated license plates readers to collect information about political activities of law-abiding citizens. The Virginia State Police recorded license plates of vehicles attending President Obama's 2000 inauguration, as well as campaign rallies for the president and vice president candidate. Obama and vice presidential candidate Sarah Palin in the previous election. Now we're going back a little further. Just to think, you go to whatever your political persuasion is, that's your business, right? And what everyone else thinks, the heck with them, right? Well, what if the police is coming in and they're scanning license plates? Oh man, there's Todd's car. He likes a specific candidate. He is a whatever party he's in. Let's use that information. Oh. Todd's a big donor. All kinds of things here. The chilling effect of states' activities are pretty obvious here. Creating, maintaining databases of millions of license plates and targeting political activity. Obviously, the Virginia State Police crossed well over the line from legitimate law enforcement to oppressive surveillance. In the case of campaign rallies in the 2009 inauguration, the VSB collected personal identifying information on drivers solely because those drivers were heading to a political event. These drivers were not suspected of or connected to any crime. Their only offense was practicing the First Amendment rights to speak freely and to assemble peacefully. This is crazy. Now, this just wasn't a local operation. Documents obtained by the ACLU via Freedom of Information request show the Virginia State Police operate in conjunction with the FBI to utilize this database to search for hits against the state's collected license plate data. It just goes on and on. I mean, on and on. And they've held on to this data for years. And this is just one state using license plates readers as building databases and basically tracking everything that you do. How long will it be before husbands and wives are embattled in nasty divorce settlements when one of the parties will request subpoena data from one of these databases to say, where was he or she? Where was my car tracked? So they get a little bit of lifestyle tracking to find out if one person had a girlfriend or another or a boyfriend. You know, when will that be used against someone in a divorce proceeding? There's really all kinds of nefarious things that could happen from the collection of this data. Do I find it unnerving that the police may know I may work in one place and live another? No, because they can look up my license plates when they pull me over. And they can pretty much tell where I live because it's where my car is registered. At the same time, though, tracking people in a variety of different places is a little bit weirdo. So, this data, where are they going to stop collecting? Now, over on the Atlantic, at theatlantic.com, they've got an overview of what the surveillance state does with our private data. And this is a infographic. And I don't normally like to look at these, basically promote these things because it's usually someone is trying to sell something or get a little link juice. But this is pretty good. And it talks about specifically when the NSA collects emails and phone calls of United States citizens, what happens to that data. And it goes through everything, talks about how long they may retain it, talks about the rules on retention, talks about reports, talks about how the information can be disseminated outside of the United States or to other three-letter agencies, and talks about, what's really done with data that's collected on us, at least from the NSA side. I don't think we're any surprised with that. But at the same point, it's, again, another privacy thing that continues to chip away at the rights that we have. And the last thing that's going to blow your mind here a little bit is there's now research being made that's saying that companies one day are going to use brain waves to find ideal pricing for products. And what they've been able to do, and the study that was made, and this example that they talk about here, according to, and I'm going to destroy this guy's name, Kai Marcus Mueller, a German neuroscientist, has developed a way to measure brain waves and hit upon feel-good prices. He judged the neural images basically he told Spiegel Online that folks in Germany would be happily paid $320. And of course, my phone's ringing and I know they can't find a phone because they were looking for one earlier and they couldn't find it. So how many times is it going to ring? It only rang twice. That's a miracle. Okay, so basically they determined through some studies that Germans would happily pay $3.25 for a small cup of Starbucks, 33% more than the current price of $2.44. Basically, this guy worked for the consulting firm Simon Kucher and Partners, helping companies determine optimal pricing for their products. He says classic market research doesn't work correctly, adding that research subjects can't always be trusted to honestly rate how much they'd be willing to pay something. Neurological scans are harder to fool. There's a region in our brains that monitors proportionality. When proportions are drastically off, for example, when a cup of coffee costs 10 cents or $100, this region sets off an alarm. When the brain was expected to process unexpected and disproportionate prices, feelings of shock, doubt, and astonishment manifested themselves and people didn't buy. So they went into the whole study and they determined that coffee that was being sold at the Munich University of Applied Sciences, where they were charging 70 cents for a cappuccino, based upon some stuff that they determined in that study, they determined that 95 cents was the ideal price for the vending machine. And they basically raised the price and they saw no lowering of sales. And they used this through neurological study. So this is pretty crazy. Now they're calling this neural pricing, also neural branding and neural packaging, because they're able to, you know, see people's responses of what's going on with your brain waves versus what you're telling them. So kind of crazy, yeah? You're going to walk in the store and they're going to have a camera on you. And, you know, if you smile, the price on an item is going to click, 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 click up. And if you frown, it's going to click, 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 click down. You won't even know. You'll get to the item and it'll be a different price for everybody. And they'll set the price based upon your brain waves. So, wow, using brain waves to find ideal pricing for products. And that just doesn't make you go, nothing will. All right, a little bit of legal news. LavaBit has filed opening brief and landmark privacy case. They've sent their appeal. It's been entered. I didn't read it. It's a 42-page appeal. And, of course, they've lost a court argument there challenging the order. And he did turn over his SSL key and then shut down his business the following day. He's raised about $90,000 in an online fundraising drive to finance his appeal. So we'll see how this goes. But his appeal is filed. And now something interesting is GoDaddy did revoke LavaBit security certificate after reading about how the feds got it. Now, I don't know if they did this as symbolic or what, because he'd already shut the business down. But GoDaddy said that there was proof. The reason they pulled it said, we've compelled by industry policy revoke certificates when we become aware that the private key has been communicated to a third party and thus could be used by that party to intercept and decrypt communications, says GoDaddy spokesperson Elizabeth Driscoll. in response to an inquiry about Lavabit's keys being revoked. So they did revoke the keys, I think, post-event. I know Elizabeth. I'll have to send her an email, see if we can get a timeline on that. But it is curious that GoDaddy did pull that. Would they do? Thing is, if they had been under subpoena, would they have done that? Probably not. A little bit of a sad day here. Google's going to sunset Google TV brand and its smart TV platform as it merges with Android. Google TV is dead. Long live Android TV. So here's the deal. Google's partners and developers have stopped using the name. Sony introduced a new smart TV adapter called the Bravia TV Stick last month. The device is based on a most recent version of Google TV. Sony's announcement didn't mention that fact once. Sony isn't alone in this kind of wording. Geneva, Switzerland-based chipset manufacturer STM Microelectronics announced support for Google TV products last month, but also refrained using the brand in its announcement. Even members of the original Google TV team have started to drop that name when talking about their work. A recently scheduled developer in Seoul was officially called Android TV Developer Day. I don't know why they didn't do this in the first place, because we all kind of understood it was almost one and the same. TV devices will run the latest version of Android and will offer more options. For those of us with Google TVs, it is more than a name change. The TV platform was launched, of course, 3 years ago. Based on Honeycomb, the Android version that also powered Google's first steps in the tablet world, Google's latest tablets now run Android 4.3, but Google TV is still stuck at Android version 3.2. Google announced earlier this year it would update Google TV to the latest version of Android, which will allow developers to use the same APIs available on mobile devices. When are they going to do this? They haven't said, but... we know that Google already has a winner called Chromecast. That's been a huge success. But I don't know if current Google TV devices across the board are going to be upgraded or not. We'll see. Time will tell. But they're saying that some of the Google TV or Android TV devices are going to look more like a Roku and not be focused so much on the live portion. So... we'll see where this leads us. We'll have to probably change our app up, but that's life. All right, first look inside Google's futuristic quantum lab and pretty cool video. I have this link up in the show notes for you guys to check out. If you like quantum mechanics, quantum physics, this will be the video for you. And you can see where Google's taking this in conjunction with a bunch of other partners. But I have a cool video for you to watch. Link will be up in the show notes. Hey, one thing that we did here, let me share something with you guys. We went out to dinner last night, and any of you who are watching my Facebook page, you know that we went and had sushi. And the place we went to is real close here to the house. They cut the fish extra big, and the rice underneath is not so bad. It reminds me of a place we used to go in Okinawa all the time. And actually, sometimes the fish, even at this place yesterday, was cut a little bit on the large side. We all walked out. First thing, boom, 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 boom. You grab what you think you're on the little conveyor belt. And so I started saying, normally I know about how much sushi I can eat, but I was like getting full a lot quicker. And obviously because the fish was cut a lot larger. But here's, besides eating sushi, here's what we told the kids. And they had been at the beach all day and hadn't been playing on our devices too much. But before we walked in, my son and daughter have both been working to earn money. I've had them doing odd jobs. They painted some fences and variety. So, they've earned a little bit of cash over the summer and even into the fall. And I pay them for chores and so forth. So I said to them, the first person to check their phone at dinner tonight pays. If no one checks their phone at dinner tonight, dad will pay. But if you check your phone, if I catch you looking down or sideways or cross looks, or you touch your phone, I said, you're buying dinner tonight. And I get this, but I'm going to tell you something. No one checked their phone at dinner. We were able to have a nice conversation. Find out what happened during the beach, and it worked out well. Now, as soon as we left the restaurant, ba-boom, they got into their phones, right? So here's what you try with some friends of yours. When you're going to dinner, you're going someplace nice, you say the same thing. First person to check their phone pays. And, you know, obviously, if that happens within the first 5 minutes of dinner, you buy, you know, you order the most expensive cocktail and, you know, you load your friend up, right? So this is a great way to keep people from using a phone, not only at the dinner table, but when you're out someplace eating. And believe me, the people around you will like it, and everyone's heads won't be down. It'll work out good. Now, I did make one exception. I took a asked permission from the group. Can I take a picture of the sushi? And we'll post it on Facebook afterwards. And we all agreed that was a freebie. But that's how we kind of played it last night. So it was a lot of fun. Okay. Exotorrent basically had their domain seized. And they are threatening to sue the City of London Police Department in order to get their domain back. They're basically saying, hey, you took this basic on hearsay. You didn't have a court order or nothing. Of course, ExtraTorrent was the largest, fifth largest torrent site in the world. So we know that, you know, they just not necessarily not known. This is a pretty big site. So we'll see what happens with this. But they took the site down without nary a court order or nothing. And they're going to fight it legally. So we'll see what happens with the folks at ExtraTorrent. The MPAA is screwed up. They basically screwed up torrent evidence in the ISO Hunt trial. Apparently, they went out and basically tracked 3,947 torrent files that were being served in the United States by their users. And they're basically trying to get $600 million out of ISO Hunt. But when they handed over or made a copy of the hard drive that contained the evidence, the folks on ISO Hunt found a whole bunch of incidences where the media that they said was linked to it was not, and mislabeled, and all kinds of issues with the actual evidence. So there's a lot of court maneuvering going on here right now. And we'll see what happens with this. But the folks from MPAA are trying to keep the actual infringements out of the actual court trial, which I found to be interesting. So we'll see where this leads. But the trial is supposed to start next month, from which, of course, the movie industry hopes to collect hundreds of millions of dollars. I hope the jury is smart enough in there to not reward them that type of cash. All right, 1/3 of millennials watch no broadcast TV. This is a survey done by New York Times. 4,000 online video viewers found, a survey of over 4,000 online video viewers found that 34% of the millennials ages 18 to 34 say they watch the most online video / no broadcast TV compared to 20% of Gen Xers 35 to 49. And 10% of boomers 50 plus. I actually think that 49 right now still qualifies as a boomer. 1964 was the last year for boomers. I know. So interesting survey here where 34% of millennials aged 18 to 34 say they watch mostly online. And that doesn't bode well for the for the cable companies. Right over on Android Central, Stitcher Radio, which is Stitcher app, has added an offline playback. So basically now the Stitcher app is also a podcast app. You can download stuff in your playlist for listen when maybe you're on an airplane or so forth, or even some music offerings as well. So very cool. And this is a big piece of functionality here and really making it a podcatcher. So we'll see where this... We'll keep an eye on the actual traffic on this and see how much they move. Mac sales are down. PC sales are up. Apparently, there's some predictions that Apple has taken a 11% hit in this past quarter. We'll know more with the Apple earnings report at the end of the month on October 28th. But they're saying that Mac sales are down 11%. Time will tell. Hey, those of you who are on T-Mobile, if you travel internationally, congratulations. T-Mobile has made data roaming free in 100 countries. T-Mobile's Lotus offer could save, a lot of you from having to pay massive roaming fees when you travel overseas. So beginning October 31st, individuals and business customers in T-Mobile's Simple Choice plans automatically get unlimited data and texting in more than 100 simple global countries worldwide, and they will only pay a global flat rate of 20 cents per minute for voice calls when roaming in the same countries. Eligible customers on T-Mobile's popular Simple Choice plan won't have to activate anything or pay an extra fee. This is a great deal, and I'm looking down at the list. Hong Kong, Hungary, Iceland, India, Japan, Ireland, Israel, Russia, Poland, Peru, Netherlands, Sweden, Spain, Vatican City, Vietnam, Argentina, Australia, Bahrain, Bermuda, Brazil, Cambodia, Canada, China, Colombia, Costa Rica, Cyprus, Czech Republic. So, huge list and pretty popular destinations on this list. So if you travel those countries, your data, data roaming is free. It's only at 128 kilobits, but still free roaming on international. Very, very cool. All right, the Xbox One is being said, will we get the best experience with IPv6? if your cable provider gives you an IPv6 address, your Xbox One will seem to work a little better than on IPv4. So we'll see. We'll see where this leads. But we know IPv6 is rolling out heavily. Maybe this makes no difference, but they're saying it'll get better performance. If you have a vBulletin internet forum, hackers have exploited the software again with basically a pretty bad software vulnerability. Targets versions 4 and 5.0 of vBulletin. So definitely check it out with the vBulletin, folks. Make sure that you're patched and that your site hasn't got infected. Over on Yahoo, U.S. cable companies are really cranking it up when it comes to home security. I know that this is a big offering here in Hawaii. We hear that a lot from Time Warner. Get your home security system through them. Just wondering, how many of you had cable security, gotten a cable security system? Kind of curious if you guys have and what your experience has been, but they've definitely been making an impact to companies like ADT and so forth with these cheaper systems. Makes a lot of sense. All right, if you live in Florida, thieves allegedly installed keyloggers to capture credit cards at Nordstrom's. A trio of men may have installed keyloggers at a Nordstrom department store in Florida to skim credit card numbers. Security footage basically caught these guys distracting staff, putting the keyloggers on. They were on for, I guess, about a week, and then the security cameras caught them coming in and taking them off. So I guess the FBI is involved, but definitely be on the lookout if you have a business, someone coming in distracting you from your point-of-sale system, someone maybe trying to add something to the keyboard cable. Congratulations to Ford in their ultra-efficient V6 Racer. It has broken a Daytona speed record. Ford donated its EcoBoost 3.5-liter V6 to Riley Technologies. And basically, after considerable tuning and tweaking, the race car took to the track at Daytona to set a record 222 miles per hour, 222.971 in a single lap, and along with some additional speed records as well. So link will be up in the show notes. And if you know Daytona, 210 miles per hour in Daytona is cooking. Samsung has collected $1.5 billion in huge Seagate stock sale. So that's another nice little quarter for them. An unaudited third quarter operating profit of $9.2 billion for Samsung, with an extra $1.5 based on some Samsung stock sale. Seagate stock sale. It's being reported that Microsoft board is motivated to hire a new CEO before an activist joins their board in early 2014. According to Bloomberg, the board CEO is in high gear here, trying to find a replacement to Ballmer before the guy that holds about 4.9% of the stock, Value Act President C. Mason Morfitt, joins the board in 2014. So I don't think they want to be going through the CEO search with this guy on the board. A little bit of bad blood there. This next article in CNET, how should I cover this without going the wrong way on the show here? Some surveys were done by Pew. My research basically has found out some very interesting information. It's been determined that only 12% of the people admit to watching adult content, which means that almost everyone who replies to the survey is surely lying. what was interesting was a mere 12% of adults declared that they indeed happen upon adult material from time to time, where 8% of women admitted to it. And this was of a sampling, pretty large sampling of folks that were asked this question. But I can see where people would say, no, I don't look at any of that material. But anyway, interesting. People are, even an anonymous survey, not willing to admit. All right, U.S. flip switch on massive solar power array that also stores electricity. This array is the first solar plant with a thermal energy storage system. This is a 280 megawatts of electricity, enough to power 70,000 households in Phoenix, 3 miles square. It's the Solana solar array, and with about 3,200 mirrored parabolic trough collectors. Each collector is about 25 feet wide and 500 feet long. So very interesting. And when you guys see this thing, it's pretty impressive. It really, really is. And link will be up in the show notes. There's a video there as well. And generating some power. Hey, the U.S. Army is planning on an Iron Man armor for its soldiers. The U.S. Army is developing revolutionary smart armor that would give its troops superhuman strength. It's called on the technology industry, government labs, and academia to help build the Iron Man-style suit. You knew it was coming. They want an exoskeleton that allows soldiers to carry large loads much further. And so very, very cool stuff. Link will be up in the show notes on this. If you wonder where your taxpayer dollars are going, that's where it's going. Great article in Ars talking about why U.S. government IT fails so hard so often. And more criticism against the troubled Obamacare IT system. Talks about some of their scaling issues and stuff. I have that link up in the show notes for you to review. Fellas, you like drinking a cold one? I'm talking about a 12-ounce frothy ice-cold beer. Do you guys like having a cold one from time to time? Well, there's a Kickstarter here for you. No more walking to the cooler. Just load the cooler up with 12-ounce cans and ice. And the cooler does the rest. Hit the remote and the cooler instantly tosses you the next beverage through the lid up to 8 feet away. Remote control makes it activation easy and allows you to be able to still catch your beer as it's coming to you. And they've got a Kickstarter for this. And they're trying to raise a bunch of money, $275,000. And they need to raise some money. The lowest pledge is guarantees one cooler cannon at $200. So you may have to wait a year for it to arrive, but beer fans across the world are going to want one of these things. And when you see it, they've got a prototype already. It does work. So I went and opened the can right away after catching it, but they do have it available. It'd be great for parties. Scientists have found the remains of a water-covered Earth-like planet. Now, don't get too excited, because this thing was had water on it 200 million years ago. The star was orbiting a star called GD61, but GD61 basically is what happened to it. It's going to happen to our star, and it turned into a white dwarf, and it devoured the water covered planet. But I guess they were able to tell through whatever science they use that this planet had water on it. So scientists are all gaga about it. I don't think this should come as any surprise to any of us out there that this has the potential. Ancestry.com execs to launch a new genealogy startup called Yoohoo. yeah, that sounds pretty like another company. Y-O-U-W-H-O. And you who is going to be digging up old family photos and documents and linking them to family members and direct descendants of the people in those photographs. The tagline is, you who will show you who you are. And but anyway, picked up by the folks at Ancestry.com. We'll see where this leads. All right, article over the Chinese are being accused of overworking its interns. Okay, why are we surprised at all? Hey, they said, hey, if you want a better grade, you can help us build PS4s, and we can put you on the night check to do that. So anyway, Foxconn being criticized. They promised not to do it again, blah, 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 blah. All right, Bose. You guys know Bose, right? Bose speakers. Bose is taking on Sonos with a wireless speaker system for your house. I love my Sonos system. I have three speakers. I absolutely love it. But Bose is taking them on, and the Bose system is going to be a little more expensive. Of course, it's going to have the sleek, cool design of what you've come to know on a Bose speaker system. I'm a big Bose fan, have been for many, many years. I was a Bose fan before it was cool to be a Bose fan. I have a set of a series, 901 Series 5, I believe is the series I have, that we still can jam out with even 20 years later. But this is a system that you're going to be able to have sitting on your counter, and Bluetooth system. So link will be up in the show notes for you to check that out. If you're a Bose fan, loves Bose audio, this is where you may want to go. All right, Amazon is basically leading the pack again and igniting a boom in same-day delivery services. We knew there was a bunch of these, you know, back in the day. Many of them failed. But a lot of competition going on in this space right now. And I don't think in Hawaii we'll ever get same-day delivery. But for those of you that live around major metropolitan areas, you may order something this hour, and 2 or 3 hours later, ding-dong on the door, and someone delivers your product. So good article about the up-and-coming same-day delivery services. We are that much instant gratification where we have to have something the same day. Hey, Arrow has won a minor legal victory in Boston. Basically, they want to. Basically, one of the Boston television stations was trying to get Arrow an injunction put on them to get them shut down. The television company couldn't show irreparable harm, and the judge denied it. So they are still moving forward with the legal fight, but they can continue to do business in Boston. You know, designers. I love designers. I love what they do. It's sometimes very hard to get my head wrapped around some of the design decisions. And some of them are pompous. Johnny Ivey's custom design Leica, yes, Leica camera, took 9 months and 55 engineers to build. And this is going to be going in the Product Red charity. And of course, it's being headlined by Apple designer Jonathan Ivey and Mark Newson. They sat down with Vanity Fair to discuss their involvement in bringing it, and they started out with like 100 items, and they had so much design input, they only could come up with two. You know, we've heard this Leica digital rangefinder. It's been pretty much debated throughout the space. But it's a camera. And do you really need all these incredible design decisions in a camera? I don't know. I guess people like beautiful things to sit on their counters and to stare at. I guess I've never been that kind of guy. I know some people's houses have to be a certain way. And, you know, my house is a hodgepodge of furniture. I got a variety of different times in my life. None of it matches. And we always said, well, we'll throw that couch out when the kids get older. Well, the kids are older and we haven't thrown the couch out. I'm sure many of us are in that case, right? We got a hodgepodge of different, and you know, we slowly tried to consolidate and make things more design, you know, design friendly. But if anyone like Johnny Ivey ever came to my house, he'd probably throw up in his mouth, because just stuff is every which way. But there's a great article on The Verge talking about the creators of the iconic Ford and American Airlines logo the group design is one. And I have a link up in the show notes. It is kind of interesting to understand it and listen to the process these designers go through and designing stuff and, you know, famous brand names and so forth. So I have it up for you to review. Hey, parents, heads up. There's reports of a flesh-rotting drug called Crocodile popping up in Midwestern suburbs and New York City clubs. This stuff is crazy. Crocodile is the name, street name for a nasty, cheap concoction that is derived from cooking codeine with chemicals such as lighter fluid or gasoline. Then the folks inject that into the skin. They say it's up to 10 times as potent as morphine and only lasts half as long, which makes it extremely addictive. So some crazy stuff has been going on. It was all over the news today. I have a link up in the show notes. Just it's super cheap and easy for these folks to make. So, you know, pay attention. It's just crazy stuff that people put in there. Who would ever think putting gasoline, cooked gasoline in your body? I just don't get it. As we close of business today, more than 90% of the staff of the Nuclear Regulatory Commission will go home on furlough. And those 300 employees are basically safety inspectors. They're going to be out of work. So you nuclear power plants out there, be safe. IDEO ignites storytelling with an iPhone video app called Spark Camera. So this is kind of cool. I was looking at this Spark Camera iPhone video app, and a pretty cool thing. They've done something unique here. So look for that in the iTunes App Store. Final two articles tonight. If you ever get a chance to work around elephants or maybe go to the zoo, apparently elephants understand pointing. So if you point to something, I guess they understand that they're supposed to look at what you're pointing at. Some big study was done. So why I'm bringing this up in a tech show, I don't know, but I thought it would be kind of interesting to share. Hey, I've ordered a drop cam. And those of you that know drop cams, they're used over at GeekBeat. Leo has them in his studio. Because my studio is a functional part of my house, I got to just figure out how we're going to place this and how we're going to use it. But we're going to have a drop cam. I'm going to make it public. Can't promise it will be on all the time, but we're going to play around with one of these. I've heard great things about them and wanting to get one, and they've introduced a pro version, a camera with a little better resolution. So we're going to pick one up, and we're also going to, I think, use one at CES, basically kind of give you a wide view shot all the time of what's going on. So anyway, that's kind of just let you know what's going on here. Okay, so I think that's it. Let me look at my email. Let me load this up real quick and see what we've got here. Dun, 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 dun. All right. Comments. And, of course, Thunderbird is, like, flipping me the bird, running really, really slow. What are we at a time? How's my time doing? Oh, I'm long already. So the last show is on the 7th. Come on, come on, come on. Why are you being so slow? Okay, so the 7th. I already got an email from Tim. He says, hey, Todd, word is iOS 7 jailbreak is nearly ready for launch, much faster than iOS 6. Have that link up in the show notes. Got an email from Jeff. He says, hey, Todd, Google Smart Watch release date could be announced this month, so we'll keep advised on that. Got an email here from Karen. She's a listener of the show. She says, hey, Todd, it's been a few years since I've communicated with you, and I hope you're doing well, which it sounds like it from your shows, so that is wonderful. Not sure if you remember me. This is Karen Rainbowfly. I am still listening and really glad you're still around. I listen in the mornings on the way to work. I listened to your show yesterday, and you included an interesting article about teenagers and something wonderful things they're doing with technology. I found this interesting because I now work at an all-boys private school in La Jolla, Blakefield, and yesterday our cyber group competed in our state competition and won. This is quite an honor for our school, and these boys here are so smart. I just got this article about it from the Washington Post, and it looks like it was written prior to their winning. Another article, the articles are all starting to come out this morning since it was yesterday. I'm a system administrator here, and these boys hack into my work and my and my policies and tell me what is wrong with it, which is a first for me, but I welcome it and very proud of them. They worked really hard, and I thought you would find this interesting. I'm hoping there will be more detailed articles on what they did so I can forward to you as well. But this is a first for me. I wish they had this stuff when I was in school. Take care. Still enjoying your news, Karen. So definitely check Karen's website out at klsphotos.me. And Karen, thanks for writing into the show and sharing me with this accomplishment for the boys at your school. Congratulations. So anyway, I have this link up in the show notes. You guys can check it out. It's nice to see schools doing cool stuff like this and having cyber competitions and so forth. I think that's it. And last one. I got an email from a friend of mine talking about Tor and the NSA. And I think we've covered some of this already, but I'll have it up in the show notes for you as well. All right, geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com, voicemail hotline 619-342-7365. You can Twitter me at geeknews. Thanks for being here. Thanks for hanging out on my 9th anniversary show. Kind of strange. We almost got 900 right back to back, but we'll be back with you next show for show 898. Don't forget our Saturday new media show. And I'm going to have a great guest on. Should be good. Again, 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 noon Eastern for that. Become an insider. Support the show for 6.7 cents a day or $2 a month. And again, don't forget about our crowdfunding initiative that I'll be announcing next week. Save your pennies, dollars, nickels, quarters, $5 bills, $100 bills, $500 bills. We're going to have some cool stuff. And we hope that you guys will support us to help really bring home the content from CES. This is something, again, we're new, we're doing this year, and we hope that you appreciate everything we've done in the past and will support us. But that initiative comes next week, and I think we'll be ready to launch on the 15th, keeping my fingers crossed. But until then, everyone take care, and we'll see you next time. Aloha.